Okay, we've got Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
Mufti Saab, from our last discussion, we spoke about how to greet a returning Haji. We spoke about ikhlas and sincerity. We spoke about the fact that you shouldn't relate any untoward or any unpleasant experience to people in order to, you know, deter them from the holy lands. And we also spoke about the fact of Zamzam, that you can mix it with other water. This was our last discussion that we had, Mufti Saab.
Yes, Mawlana. So now, in the meantime, alhamdulillah, the Hujjaj have all returned. And I think most of them, if not all, are back in the country. And life starts again, everything comes back to normal. The important thing and the challenge is to try to sustain and maintain that momentum of the Hajj.
Yeah.
Allah Pak make it easy for them to keep up that fervor. What happens is human nature, when you get back into your daily environment, then all the things that were a source of distraction for you before you left for Hajj, all those things are back again. And once more, you have to grapple with all of these things, and these things cause you to lose focus, because when you are there, then you have no distraction, so you are able to focus much better. And additionally, you have the spirituality of those Mubarak places that envelop you. So the spirituality plus the focus and the absence of distraction makes it a very fulfilling spiritual experience. But when we come back here, the spirituality is not there anymore of the Haramain, and then the distractions are there and we lose focus and concentration. But nevertheless, we should still try and we should not give up. Now, having said that, Maulana, we'll be discussing one important subject matter today, and that is relating to the fact that we are departing from one Islamic year and we're entering another Islamic year. As we know, today is the 29th of Dhul-Hijjah, this great month in which came the two great acts of Ibadah of Hajj and Qurbani. This great month is departing, and depending on sighting of the moon, if the moon is sighted, then tomorrow will be our new Islamic year. Today would be technically the last day of the Islamic calendar, and tomorrow will be the beginning of the new Islamic year. So it will be a transition from one year into another year, and it will be leaving the month of Dhul-Hijjah and entering the month of Muharram. So Islamically, there is no special significance of a new year. There's no New Year celebrations and New Year Mubarak and that kind of messages that sometimes we find people sending around. This is in total emulation of the ways of others, which is not part and parcel of Islamic way teachings, and it has no room, or it has no space, or it has no significance in Islam. So that's the one thing that I think it's important to highlight, is that do not send out any Islamic New Year messages, because there is no significance of that. If there was any significance in that, Sahaba Ikram would have been the first to send New Year messages, or they would have greeted each other with a New Year message. But there's no such a thing. So we should not introduce something new into the deen, and we should not innovate something, because Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave severe warnings against innovations and introducing new things into the deen which have no basis and which have no source, which has got no proof or no evidence to support it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned, "Kullu muhdathatin bid'ah, wa kullu bid'atin dalala, wa kullu dalalatin finnar." Any new item that is introduced in the deen, "Man ahdatha fi amrina ma laysa minhu fahuwa raddun." Anything new is rejected. Anybody who brings something new, it is a means of deviation. and every deviation is a means of going into the fire of hell. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us from doing anything in the name of Islam which has got no basis or foundation. So that is as far as the issue of the so-called New Year greetings. There's no basis for it. Yes, we can make people aware. Awareness is a good thing. You can make them aware that, look, we have now completed 1 year and we are going into a new year. And so maybe it is an occasion to do some reflection, to do some introspection, to refresh one's intentions, to have some new ideas or thoughts or inspirations as to what we're going to do in the coming year. It's an occasion for muhasaba. It's an occasion for, you know, what we call tafakkur, reflection. We should do some reflection on a daily basis. And now that we're coming to the end of the year and we're entering a new year, we should do some reflection for the year, in the sense that we do some kind of reflection, introspection, about how we spent the year, how did the 12 months go by, and how did we fare, what were our deficiencies and shortcomings, and the 12 months that are coming ahead of us, what is our intention as far as these days are concerned, what do we plan to do, how are we going to spend our time, what improvements we are going to bring to our life. These are the things that we are required to do. A Muslim is constantly in the state of reflection. A Muslim is constantly in a state of improvement. We find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sounded a warning in one narration when he said, "Man istawa yawmahu fahuwa maghbunun." That person whose 2 days are equal, he is in a loss. What he meant by that? That if yesterday is like today, and tomorrow is like today, in other words, our days are the same, there's no improvement, then it is actually considered as a loss. So we can apply the same principle to the years. If last year or this year is like last year, then it means that we are at a loss, because we have not progressed, we have not advanced. And our deen encourages advancement of a person, progress. And of course, the greatest progress is in the aspects of akhirah. It is in aspects of spirituality, ruhaniya. That is where the greatest progress and advancement of a believer is. We normally look at progress mainly from a material point of view, Maulana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a person says, "I had one shop last year, now I must have 2 shops. Or I had one factory, I must have 2 factories. Or, you know, I was a deputy manager, so I must become the managing director, the MD, or I must become the CEO of the company. Or in some people's cases, the damaging manager." Just on a lighter note. Yeah, but the idea is people feel that that is the sign of progress. But in actual fact, we don't say that is not progress. That is a form of progress, but the desired progress, the true progress of a believer, is in the spiritual realm and in the aspects of akhirah. So we should not forget that, and we should not lose sight of that at all times. So therefore, this end of the year and the beginning of the year is actually a time of concern, and it is a time of thought, and it's a time of deep reflection. It's not a time of celebration. Again, we don't have any kind of New Year celebrations in Islam. And this is why the beauty of our Islamic calendar is this, that the last month ends off as the month of Zulhijjah, the month of Hajj and acts of Ibadah. And the first month is the month of Muharram. It is an auspicious month. Certain things have been made haram in this month, like bloodshed and so on, so it's called Muharram. And Muharram also means that it is something that is very holy and auspicious. So our year ends off on a good note, it starts off on a very good note. Whereas if you look at the Gregorian calendar, you know, one of the ulama made a very beautiful observation when he said, especially when you speak, when you pronounce it in the Urdu, Maulana, it sounds more, striking. He says that that new month starts off with the month of January. January is like January. And we know that is why when the first, the midnight, and then the new year, then it is a time of January, where people start reveling and partying and boozing and drinking and jiving and dancing and shouting and clapping and screaming and all of these things here. So the alim said that it is because the new month starts off, the new year starts off on that note. Right. But whereas our new year starts on the note of Muharram.
MashaAllah.
So that is why there is a very big difference between the two. Therefore, you won't find New Year celebrations anyway. If they're doing it like a kind of a festive atmosphere or some kind of festive event they're making it into, then obviously this is a bid'ah and this is totally prohibited and forbidden in Islam. There's no occasion to celebrate. It is an occasion of deep thought and reflection. Nevertheless, now that the month of Muharram will be coming, this is a very great month, and these are the part of the four great months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. Inna iddat ash-shuhuri 'inda Allah 12 shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal ardha minha arba'atul hurum. There are 4 months that are very auspicious, and these 4 months refers to the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram. These 3 months, the 2 months have already passed, and this is the third of those 3 months that are consecutive, and also the beginning of the new year, and of course the 1 month that is not directly joined to these 3 months is the month of Rajab. So these are those 4 important months in the Islamic calendar according to Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Ali. These are the months in which the virtue of good deeds are multiplied and even the sins are multiplied. So from this we see that this month is also a great month that is coming ahead of us. And in one narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ صَامَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ فَلَهُ بِكُلِّ يَوْمٍ ثَلَاثُونَ يَوْمًا. The person who fasts 1 day of Muharram, he gets the reward of 30 days of fast for each fast that he keeps. So if a person fasted the whole month of Muharram, he will get 30 times 30, he will get the reward of, what would it work out to, 900, Maulana?
Juju.
900 days of fasting he can get, Masha, if he fasts every day of Muharram. And if a person doesn't fast all of Muharram, but certain days in Muharram, then too, the reward is multiplied by 30 days for every day of fast. This is the importance of this month that we have in front of us, and it is also the month in which a very important and significant day in the Islamic calendar comes about, and that is the day of Ashura. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the day of Ashura, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Oh yes, also regarding the fast of Muharram in general, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of days to fast after Ramadan is in the month of Muharram. And particularly regarding Ashura, su'ila al-siyami yawmi Ashura, faqal yukaffiru sanatal maziyah. The person who fasts on the day of Ashura, it is a means of forgiveness of the past year's sins. I think lots of times people get confused between the fast of Arafah and Ashura.
Yes.
The virtue of Arafah fast is the previous and the future year's sins are forgiven. But as far as Ashura is concerned, the forgiveness of the previous year's sins.
Mm.
Now, if somebody asks a question, Maulana, that, well, I fasted in Arafah day, so my past years and future years sins are forgiven.
Mm.
Now, why should I fast in Ashura? Because I've already been forgiven. So here I'm going to be forgiven when I've already been forgiven.
Subhanallah.
So we answer that question and say that this is an additional virtue that, yes, you may have, your sins may have been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when you fast after your sins are forgiven, then those sins are also converted into virtuous deeds for you. This is an additional benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person who fasts on these days. So it's like a person, you know, somebody made dua maghfirat for a deceased person, as a result of which that deceased person was forgiven, but another 100 people also made dua maghfirat, whereas he was now already forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody says, what is the benefit of so many people making dua maghfirat because he's already been forgiven, the ulama say that all those duas of maghfirat are converted into good deeds and rewards for him.
Hmm.
Mountains of rewards are given to this person. Subhanallah.
MashaAllah.
So we should not feel at any time that, okay, our sins were forgiven because of certain good deeds that we did, so why must we now seek other deeds for forgiveness of sins? No. Those things are converted into virtues and good deeds for a person.
Hmm.
And of course, the reward of fasting by itself is a great thing. The virtue, the benefits of fasting, tremendous amount of benefits for fasting in general. So nevertheless, this is the month in which we should be doing that fast of Ashura, and now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam added the additional advice and guideline, and he said that Sumu yawman qablahu or yawman ba'dahu khaliful yahood. Don't obey or don't follow the way of the Yahud. They used to fast on only Ashura. We are different. So, O Muslims, if you want to fast Ashura, then fast the day before or the day after with Ashura, so that you are not fasting only on the day of Ashura itself, but you've added an extra day, and thereby you have shown that we are distinct and independent, and we have our own culture, our own way, our own values, our own methods of ibadah, and we show our distinctness in this manner.
Hmm.
So therefore, the Ashura fast should not be just the day of Ashura, but we should add a day before or a day after. And also a very significant thing of Ashura, the day of Ashura, is that the person who will spend generously on his family on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person abundance of barakah for the rest of the year.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, this is such a great thing, especially in the economic times, Maulana, we are living in. Frequently we're hearing of petrol prices going up. And obviously, Maulana, that has a knock-on effect on prices of everything, Maulana.
Indeed.
And that is a cause of concern. People, when they hear this kind of thing, people who are just surviving, making ends meet, as we say, they're fulfilling the basics of life, just, you know, managing to pay the bills, just, you know, covering their basic utilities, and, you know, being able to put some food on the table and some clothing for the children and medication and health. You know, those are people who just make it end of every month, and every price increase puts them into worries and concerns and sleepless nights. Allah Pak, make it easy for everyone.
Ameen, ameen.
So this is where, you know, you have to latch on to and hold on to anything that is a source of barakah, so that you can secure that barakah, and it is the barakah that pulls you through the year and pulls you through your life.
MashaAllah.
And because barakah is a very beautiful concept in Islam, it has been defined very beautifully when it was said with regard to barakah, that the definition of barakah is qaleelu shay kathirun nafa. something that is very little, but it has a lot of benefit. The food is less, but many people eat out of that food. That is barakah. Money was less, but it fulfilled many needs of a person. We call that barakah. The medication was very basic and simple, but it cured the sickness. That is what we call barakah. So if we want that barakah to really remain with us throughout the year, then subhanallah, this is the way that the Ashura day, spend a little extra on your family. It doesn't mean that now you must go to town, you know, and max your credit card and then go and pay riba, astaghfirullah, and all of that kind of thing. And it doesn't mean that you must go overboard, and it does not mean that you should not spend at all, but maintain a beautiful, moderate balance. And there's no Ashura dinner and all of these things. There's no such thing that, you know, there must be Ashura sale in the shops and all of that. This is commercialization of deen. We do not commercialize our deen. It's a private thing. People, each one spends according to his means, how much little extra he can for his family. And he can give to poor people, and he can give to his relatives, and he can give to his friends, with the intention that he's spreading, you know, and spending on those who are beloved to him. That is no issue. That is not a problem. But to make it into a kind of a celebration or event that now people exchange Ashura gifts. There's no basis for Ashura gifts in Islam, that, you know, I give you a gift. Then it becomes like Christmas. But this is the warning. We must be very careful not to follow the ways of others, that now it becomes an innovation in Islam. Today we give it innocently and we say, no, I'm just giving someone, I'm calling it an Ashura gift. Tomorrow it will become like a kind of a compulsory practice. So therefore, in deen, the beauty of our deen is the simplicity of our deen. Keep everything simple and straightforward.
Let's just have a quick question before we close off. It says here, can one make dua for people like health, wealth, happiness, and joy in the start of the new year?
Yes, you can make dua, but it doesn't have to be necessary in the beginning of the new year. And it should not be that if this dua is being made because it's the new year. Make this dua in general. If you remembered because, you know, you had lost track of time and now when the new year came, you remembered Islamic year started and, you know, what we should come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua for people and so on. So you may use that opportunity to make the dua. There is no problem with that, but it should not be specific to that day that, you know, now I'm making a new year dua for you. Yeah, I think that is where the difference lies.
So we make dua now, Mufti Sahib. Jazakallah khairan for the program. Much appreciated.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.